On this episode, I interview Susie Lozick. We talk about her trail running journey, how she uses structure instead of motivation to get her runs in, winning Ray Miller 50 Miler, and the importance of nutrition. Welcome to the She Runs Trails podcast. I am your host, Elements of Daisy. I am an ultra runner, founder of Wellness on the Trails, and assistant race director for SoCal Trail. Thank you for joining me today. In this podcast, I interview other female trail runners in hopes to educate, empower, and inspire more women to run on the trails. If you are a returning listener and have been enjoying the podcast, it would really mean a lot to me if you could help the podcast by leaving a review on the platform you're listening to this episode. Thank you for your support. Let's get into the show. Today's guest, we have Susie Lozick from Sierra Madre, California. She's a mathematics high school teacher, a cross-country coach, ultra runner who has podiumed a handful of races, including winning last year's Ray Miller 50 Miler, the Golden Gate Trail Classic Spartan 50K in San Francisco. She's also completed a half Ironman back in 2021 and is part of the Run With Us Pasadena race team. Susie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Daisy.
Susie, to tell us, how did you get into trail running?
I kind of fell into it when I was training for the Boston Marathon. So my husband wanted to get into trail running. He saw it out there. He said it'd be really great if we started going out. And so I was really hesitant at first. It seemed really daunting to run uphill. I was used to running on the flats, on the roads. So slowly I just started running up Echo Mountain and started to fall in love with it. It wasn't until the pandemic hit that I really just wanted to get out and get out of the city, get out of just my entire living room, which I spent most of my time on Zoom. So I love the escape, just getting out there, being out with nature. And it was so freeing after just being inside for like 10 hours a day staring at a monitor.
So you say you were hesitant about the uphill. So you were going for a fast, you ran Boston Marathon. And so you come from a very fast paced running environment. How was that transition feeling from like, oh my God, I have to run so much slower? Did your feelings of or definition of being a runner change? How was that experience for you?
I don't think I've ever truly felt like a runner. I didn't start running until I want to say like 2016. So I didn't run in high school. I didn't run in college. I ran when I started teaching. So I always felt like I was an outsider looking in. So switching to trail running didn't really change my perspective on how I viewed myself as a runner. I think the hardest part for me with getting into trail running was that coming from road, you're just so used to running nonstop. And so if you just run at those hills the same way you would take the flats, you're going to get burned out really quickly and get really discouraged. And so in the beginning, I found that I was often getting discouraged when I would go trail running, or I would want to go just like once a week or once a month, just because I would go so hard on the hills that I was just done for the rest of the week. And so it wasn't until I started talking to more people and just seeing that even the pros run uphill that I was able to take a step back and say, oh, this is more of a fun journey. Like, this is not about your pace. It's more about what you see and how far you can go. So it's just time outside versus speed. So it's become a distance thing versus a pace and time goal for me.
And when did you run your first trail race?
I want to say it was probably 2019, 2020. It was the Baldy Run to the Top race, I think, was my first trail race. It was one of the hardest runs I've ever done. It still to this day is very daunting. I find that I'm just walking in place, or I end up walking backwards once I get to that higher altitude. But I still love doing it. I run the Mount Wilson Trail Race. It's one of my favorites. It's in my backyard now.
And you did a handful of short races. I think you did a few. The Baldy, you mentioned, I think you did it two times. You did it in 2019 and then 2021. Then you did, it looks like San Francisco, the Golden Gate is a race that you keep going back to. So do you really like that race?
I love the area. So I attended undergrad in the Bay Area. And so I love going back. I like visiting the city. I like popping into Berkeley, going to San Francisco. I have family up there. And my husband and I would just love the area. And that race takes you from, you start in the Presidio in San Francisco. You run across the Golden Gate Bridge. And as you're running, you normally get the sunrise. And so it's like this beautiful sunrise over the Golden Gate Bridge. You run into the Marin Headlands and you go up and you do a lot of climbing. And so once you're done, you're at the top, you hit a bunch of rollers and you hit this turn and you just get this huge view of the ocean and it's beautiful. It reminds me of the Ray Miller course, actually, when you're up at the top and you have this like really big view of the ocean. I actually am considering going back and running it again. It's put on by Spartan, so it's not one of my favorite trail races, but the course itself is lovely. I recommend it to anyone that wants to run. They have a half marathon, a 50K, and they have a 100K distance, so it's good for everyone.
So what inspired you to sign up for that first ultra, that 50K? I'm sure it was something, you know, different from what you're used to of these trail short races, and then you just signed up for an ultra. What was it that led to running your first ultra?
It was actually the closure of the entire world, pretty much. When everything shut down, I was set to run my second road major, which was the Chicago Marathon. I was training for it. I was like in the middle of my peak training and I got word that they weren't going to hold it. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm already trained for it. I'm already peaking. I might as well just go run. So I loaded up my pack and I just went out there, ran a marathon on my own. And I was like, well, if I can run a marathon by myself, what's to stop me from running farther? And so every month I would just run one more mile above that marathon. So one month it was like, I was okay, I'm gonna run 27 miles. Okay, next month I'm gonna run 28 miles and just see how far I can go. And so I got to like 28 miles and I had the hardest time running anything past that. Like I was walk running, I had to take breaks. And so for my 31st birthday, I was like, well, why not go to the Rose Bowl and just run 10 loops, which ends up being a 31-mile run, so a 50K. So I went and did it, and I was like, well, that wasn't that hard. So I wanted to start going out to do the trails and start getting to the 50K distance. And so I found that for whatever reason, once I hit 20 miles, I feel like I could run forever. And so for me, I really fell in love with the 50K distance. And so Brandon actually told me about the Ray Miller 50 mile and he's like, well, you should sign up. And I was like, well, the it's already full. And so he told me to join the wait list. So I did. And it was in, I want to say like right after I had finished the New York Marathon early November that I got an email saying I was accepted into it. And I was like, well, I'm already coming off all these races and all this training. Might as well just do it and see what happens.
And how do you balance or how do you manage your training going from road to trail running, since it requires different types of training? How do you do it for both? Like you did Berlin last year as well. What do you do? What has helped you to balance going from marathon training to trail running training and or back and forth?
I think what really helps is that my schedule is very tight on weekdays. And so if I want to get a longer run in, I have to stick to the roads. And so when I run roads, I run a lot of hills. So I incorporate a lot of rollers. And on the weekends, I try to go out and run trails maybe like once or twice in that weekend. With the weather lately, I haven't been able to do that. But typically, my week looks like weekdays are generally road running in the morning. And if I have energy or time after work, I'll go and run to the Mount Wilson Trailhead. And I'll run up to like First Water, which ends up being like 5-6 miles, or I'll go up to Bailey. And so it's a nice little escape after work too, to go up and see the whole view of the city after I've just been inside all day. So I like balancing both road and trail. So for me, switching between the two isn't really all that difficult. I find that trail running really helps me with my road running because it's a way to incorporate more strength training without actually having to do any strength training.
Do you feel that keeping the road running in your training helps you stay fast, kind of keep that speed?
I think it helps to break up the monotony, because if I'm just trail running every single day, I find that I'm getting really burnt out from just all that pounding running uphill and downhill. And I find that if I'm doing it all the time, I'll just get tired of it. Whereas if I'm running road and trail, I'll feel like I'm doing two different sports, even though they're both some form of running. And so if I'm not doing that, I find that I'm throwing in cycling a lot, just so I'm not getting burnt out with one thing or the other.
You used to cycle a lot before you were a trail runner?
I did, yes. So training for my first marathon, I thought, what better way to train than to ride my bike 100 miles? So I rode my first century preparing for my first marathon, which was the LA Marathon. I thought, well, if I can sit on the bike for like 6 to 8 hours, then I'll have no problem running, and it's very low impact. So I also do a lot of long distance road cycling as well. Like I've done the Tour de Big Bear, which is 100. They have different distances, but I've done the 100-mile events. And so they're a lot of fun too. They're much like trail runs where you have all these little like aid stations and they're called SAGs. And so they're like little mini parties, like broken up every like 20-ish miles, and tons of people come out to these events. So they're quite like the trail running community, which is why I really like trail events, because it reminds me of that environment and the culture of the they're called fondos. So cycling fondos.
what's a similarity that you see between the cycling, the endurance of the cycling, and then the endurance with trail running, either through fuel or through set, like how you train or how you just, you know, perform as a, when you do the activity?
I think cycling long distance has really helped me with my nutrition for trail running and just for running long distance in general, because I've kind of trained my body to eat and work out. So I don't really do any runs fasted. So I'll just like, I can eat a whole meal and go run. I can eat a whole meal and go cycling. And I've learned that when you're riding that far, you will bonk. And so I learned what the bonk was. It's when your blood sugar just crashes and you have no energy to move on. So I learned what that was like on the bike. And I learned how to gauge what that feels like when I'm running. So I know when my energy starts to fade, if I need caffeine or if I need some kind of carb or if I need salt.
Do you usually have breakfast for also your short runs or just your long runs?
Any workout. What I'll have like the size of my meal will change depending on the duration of my runs. Like I start my morning runs before work. I want to say I'm out the door before 5 a.m. I'll still wake up and eat something and have like coffee or a hot beverage because it's just so cold in the morning. But I try not to do any runs fasted. I did for a while when I was new to running and new to marathon training. And I found that I had a lot of GI issues when I did that. And so I really spent like a year trying to dial that back and figure out what was causing that. And I found that by teaching my body to eat every single time I run was more advantageous. And I found that it kept me from binge eating throughout the day and feeling like I had low energy. And it kept me pretty consistent throughout the day.
What are some things you take during your run?
It depends on the day. So on a typical day, I'll have like a slice of toast with breakfast or like a Pop-Tart. On runs, I've been really experimenting with things now. I'll have like baby food, Pop-Tarts, jelly beans, gummy bears. What else do I have? Pickle juice.
Whatever. What did you have for in Ray Miller? Did you have any GI issues? It was warm that day, wasn't it?
It was pretty warm. I didn't have any GI issues. I actually consumed, I want to say, 22 gels that day. I tackled the watermelon, the pineapple, the sandwiches. I pretty much just ate at every aid station. I was starving, so I would just like grab a handful of things, put gels in any pocket I had, and I would run out with like a peanut butter and jelly. And just I was eating so often because I was just so hungry. When I finished too, I had no issues with GI issues. I wanted to just eat everything in my path the second I was done.
Do you feel that the benefits that you've had with your stomach is because you add diversity into your stomach during your training and you don't stick just to one thing? Do you feel like that has been helping you?
I think so. And I think my diet is a diet filled with a lot of high fiber items. So because of that, I find that my stomach is better able to handle things. I eat a lot of oatmeal every day. I have a lot of fruits and vegetables and a lot of fresh produce. So I find that all of that just keeps my body in balance. And I try to incorporate like kimchi and sauerkraut. And so I'm conscious about what I eat throughout the day, just so I'm trying to get as much of the rainbow in my diet as possible.
So for Ray Miller, tell us a little bit about Ray Miller. How was that experience for you? Is your first 50 miler? Were you leading the whole way? Were you surprised that you were in the top, you know, almost leading the race?
So I was a little nervous going into it. I didn't really do much trail running since I was coaching cross country. So I was down in the flats running in the city, it's not Sierra Madre with all the hills. And so I was maybe running like 1,000, 2,000 feet of climbing every week and hitting, like, I want to say I was topping out at like 60 miles a week. And so I was, and because I was racing so much, I was either tapering, racing, or recovering. So I didn't find that I was getting in those long runs. But because I had done a 50K like right before Ray Miller, like around Thanksgiving-ish, I found that was like my last trial run. So I was like, okay, well, there's nothing I could really do. I've been racing for so long. I should have the fitness. So I just focused on like nutrition leading into it. I just told myself, I'm going to run whatever race I can. And wherever I fall, that's great. But it's my first 50. I wanted to go out conservatively. So it was a really cold morning. And I decided I'm going to just go shorts and tank top. It's fine. I'll suck it up. I'll freeze for like the first hour. And it was fine. So I took off. Everyone was like racing out the front. I was like, hey, don't chase them. So the first like 5 miles, I focused on myself and focused on my breathing, found my comfort. The nice thing about Ray is, which I didn't know, is the Tough Topanga course covers the first like 2 miles of the Ray Miller course. And so as I was going, I was like, oh, I've already done this. I know what this feels like. Just find your groove. So I'm going out there and I notice that I'm starting to pass people on all the climbs. I'm like, that's interesting. Okay, like maybe I should be a little bit more conservative. I met a bunch of people along the way. I was chatting with people and they were just telling me to like take it easy. And I was like, I'm feeling really good. Like, I'm gonna just keep going with you. And they were warning me that there was a bunk that was gonna come. And I was like, I don't think that's gonna happen, but okay, I've been there before. Like, you get into that dark place, you don't know what happens after that. So I just thought of that race as just run to the next aid station, get to the next aid station, eat something, check how you're doing, and then reassess. So I was doing that for so long. I got to, I wanna say that last like climb, and it's the wall. I don't know what segment it's called, but everyone knows it. And Ray, you just, it's a straight wall where you're going up. And so when I got there and I was like, oh, I love these. So I just like put my body in a different gear, and I would find people above. I was like, okay, your goal is to catch that person. So slowly I started just like catching up to all these people going up the mountain. And I was like, wow, I feel really good. So I took off, I picked up my husband who was my pacer, and he saw me, he's like, you're in first. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So we turned around and ran, and I felt great the entire time. I don't know what happened, but I feel like the stars aligned for that race, and I didn't have any low points, which I'm a little worried about, because now I expect my 50s to be so great, but I know that that doesn't happen in every race. So I just took the race for what it was. I enjoyed the scenery, the people around me. I was having conversations with people. It was pretty muddy at some points, but I was fighting not falling into that like dark place at that moment when everything was like, all the mud was getting attached to the bottom of my shoes. My legs were like 5 pound weights. I was like, you know what? Everyone else is going through this. Like, this is very entertaining. At least I'm out here. So I was trying to spin it every time I found myself going down that black hole. I was like, well, you know what? At least you're out here. You're enjoying it. You get to run. You're not injured. Just enjoy it. So I really enjoyed the experience of running that 50 miler. I would say that it's my new favorite distance.
50 miler. Oh, wow. Yeah. That exciting. I love 50 milers. My favorite distance. I like the 50 mile distance. It's fun because I feel like you can challenge yourself and you'll get to that point towards the end where you're just like, all right, I feel like I'm going to bonk soon, but then you're done by the time you finish. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm done. I don't have to deal with the whole thing. In the past, you mentioned a little bit about the pain cave and kind of that dark hose. Is there an experience you've had when you've dealt with that and you just kind of spiral down, and how did you navigate to push through that?
There have been a few times. I want to say, what race was it? I know for the Berlin Marathon, it was a miserable experience the entire time. And I just started to break up the run. Instead of looking at it as like 26 miles or 31 miles, I think of it as, when's the next aid station or when's the next like water station? So I just like focus on that and try to just be in the moment. And I try to push out those negative thoughts. Yes, they come, but that's part of running. It's learning to overcome all those different things, like your voice telling you can't do it and seeing if you can push yourself even further. And so I find that is why I really enjoy the longer distances, because you test yourself if you can push past it. And at that point, I find that if it's not a physical thing that is causing me to stop, like I don't have pain, I don't have GI issues, if it's all mental, I like the challenge of just pushing past that struggle. There have been times I attempted to run, it's called the Holcomb Valley 50K in Big Bear. I took off way too fast. I ended up getting a lot of GI distress because I was pushing my body too fast. My digestion just shut down. And so for like 13 miles, I was struggling keeping anything down. So at that point, even though I was in that dark place, there was no coming out of it because my body had also just failed me at that point. And so I find that situation, it's really hard to get out of that negativity. And at a certain point, if your body's given up, you have to just call it quits and just reassess what went wrong. And so that's why I really have been focusing on nutrition and finding a way to not have GI issues.
Do you feel that those dark moments, or do you have a mentality of like, I'm not going to quit or DNF unless I'm dying or I broke a leg or I'm pretty much the race director kicks me out of a race? Like, is that your mentality, or what's your mentality when you go into a race?
Any race, my mentality is I'm going to finish it one way or another. I don't care how long it takes me. There is no way I'm quitting unless I get pulled or something medical happens. I will find a way to finish. And because I have those thoughts, I find that it's easy to just get out of that funk after a while. Yeah, I'll probably be in that funk maybe like 20, 30, sometimes 60 minutes. But at a certain point, I decide that you can either just be miserable in this experience or you can be happy in the experience, but either way we're going to finish. So choose what mentality you want to be in, but you're going to get to that finish line. There's no quitting. I'm the kind of person that if I start something, I have to see it through to the end or it will drive me insane. I'll look back and I'll reassess. I'll hyper-analyze the situation and I'll think I could have done this differently. I could have done that differently. So in that moment, I start to think like, what will future me think of me quitting now? And I don't want to let down future me.
It's probably the mathematician in you. You're like, I have to solve this problem no matter what.
Pretty much. Like, I love puzzles. So I find that navigating those situations is like solving a puzzle. Like, how can I triage this situation? How can I trick my mind into thinking that everything's okay? I even start to do math while I'm running. Like, okay, I've run 37% of this run. I have like X amount to go and I can't stop it. I find ways of entertaining myself while I'm out there running.
And next thing you know, you finish doing this equation, like, oh, I did 2 miles, so I have to redo the equation again. Because
pretty much, it's a constant movement.
So you have podium a handful of races, and you've been running trail running just for a few years since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's been, what, three to four years. Did you ever think you were going to be running competitively? And how has that kind of motivated you with your training now today?
I actually never thought I would podium. So in middle school and in high school, I used to fake running my miles. I would fake being sick to get out of running the mile. Like, I always had an excuse for any time we had to run. Like, I was injured or it was raining or whatever excuse I could think of, I was not going to run. Or like, I would like cut little corners here and there. So it's ironic that now I pay to run. But I never once thought that I would be podiuming for any of these trail races. And so the funny part was, we had signed up, the Mount Wilson trail race is the first trail race I podiumed for. And so as I was running, I realized that, hey, I was in, like, I think I was in first for a while, so I went out too hot. So I was feeling really good. I was chasing the people in front of me, and the second place girl passed me and she became first. I fell in a second. I was like, okay, well, I did not just sacrifice all this energy to come in third or fourth. And so when we hit the turnaround, I saw the third place girl behind me and I was like, okay, like, it's do or die now. You need to just like get it together. So I don't know what happened. It's a gear I've never seen before, but it came out of nowhere. And I ran down that mountain the fastest I've ever run down that Mount Wilson trail. And it was a lot of fun because the third place girl and I, we were just like a neck and neck over and over. Like, she'd hit those inclines and she would drop me and we hit the downhill. I was like, okay, now it's my chance. Like, I'm really good at the downhill technical parts. And so that's when I would make up my movement. And so the Mount Wilson trail race is what made me realize, like, hey, I could probably actually do this. And so I ran that race, got second. And I think, I'm not sure when I did Del Dios, if it was before or after it was before SoCal, actually. I ran the Del Dios 50K and I ended up getting third.
And so, yeah, that was in January of 2022.
Yes, that was before SoCal Trail. So I ran the Del Dios. I actually ended up getting third and I was really surprised then too. And I was like, okay, like maybe trail running is my thing. So I started like really focusing on trail running, increased my mileage and just focused on running hills because I'm good at running downhill, but running uphill is a whole struggle in itself. And so I last minute signed up for one of the SoCal Trail races, the Malibu Sunset. It was, I think it's a 15K. I want to say like a little bit over like 14, 15,
22K.
It's
one loop. It's 15 miles, right? Yes. Almost 15, 14 miles. I can do the math sometimes.
So I ran that one. It was interesting because it was in the evening. Shelby took off the front and I was like, okay, we're going to chase her. So I started chasing her. And at that point, I'm like, okay, this is just a lot of fun to see what I could do at this point. And so I ended up getting second there. And ever since then, I'm like, well, I can't control what other people do. All I can do is show up with what fitness I have and where I fall, I fall. If I fall on the podium, that would be great. If I don't, it's not the end of the world because for me, I'm just competing against myself, who I was yesterday, how I was last year, the type of runner I was in like 2016. And so if I look back to like 2015, I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be training for a 100K or a 100 miler, let alone complete a 50 mile run. I would joke about how I was never going to run a marathon ever in my life. Then I ran one. And I was like, I'm never going to run an ultra marathon. Then I ran one. And so now the running joke is every time I say I'm not going to do something, I'm going to go do something.
You know, now you're training for your first 100K. So that's just around the corner in a few weeks. And I see you've been putting in work. You wake up early. Like you mentioned, you start your runs at 5 a.m. What motivates you to get up? I'm sure, you know, you work a full-time job. You're a teacher. You're a coach. You have a lot going on. You're a wife. You have a lot of stuff outside of running, like many of us, right? We have life outside of running. believe it or not. We have to pay the bills somehow. How do you balance training, and what are the type of sacrifices you've had to make to commit to your training?
I find that I'm not motivated to run. The motivation isn't there. Like, maybe I'll be motivated one day. Like, I want to set a goal, but for me, it's discipline and habits that work really well. I love structure. I love planning. Obviously, that's why I'm a teacher. I like to schedule things out. So for me, if I make a plan, I'm very ambitious with my weekly plans, but I give myself a little bit of wiggle room. Like, I'll say, like last week, I was like, okay, I want to hit anywhere from like 75 to 85 miles. But for me, the elevation gain is a non-negotiable. So the mileage for the week is negotiable. I have like a 5-10 mile differential, and then I want to hit that goal. And I know if I don't get my runs in before work, I'm running after work. So either way, it's going to happen one way or another. So I can either get it over with and feel like I've lived a whole day and I've been very productive, and then I know that when I leave work, I can relax. Or if I decide to sleep in, then I'm going to have to do that after work when I'm extremely exhausted, because the days are hit and miss. Like, some days are very taxing. I teach pre-calculus and honors geo. So it's mentally draining. So after work, sometimes I don't want to run, but sometimes I have such a great day that I'll do a double because I've run in the morning, and I really like running sometimes after work. So I find that doing those doubles and allowing myself to wake up at 5 to do that run really helps open up my schedule. But the motivation isn't there. It's discipline at this point. Like, when I take a day off, I feel very strange. Like, I feel like something's missing, or I should be running, just because I've been doing it for so long.
Do you have an evening routine to kind of set you up for success in the morning? Especially like last week, I saw that you were running and your husband was chasing you with the car. You know what? It reminded me of Rocky, and the scene of Rocky when he's training and, you know, he's putting in the work, and you have, you know, his trainer just recording him, and you're like, hey, you got to do whatever it takes. And that's what it reminded me, seeing you out. It was raining last week. We've been dealing with these crazy storms in LA. What do you have, routine or something that helps you, you know, set up yourself for success?
My alarm goes off at 4:30, whether I want it to or not. We have smart lights. So I have our bedroom light set on a smart light timer, so it mimics the sunrise. So the light in the room will start to gradually brighten up like it's daytime. So I find that is a nicer wake up than just a blaring alarm. But my husband's an early bird, so I'm very fortunate to have him. He helps keep me accountable. He's there too. So he knows that when it's raining, it's really hard to go out there, and it's pouring rain here. It rains very differently up in the mountains and the foothills than it does elsewhere. So on like really rainy days, since he's injured right now and he can't run, so normally we run together, but since he can't, he's out there in the car. He's like my little crew SAG station. So he has like hot beverages in the car. So if it's really cold, I'll drink like some hot tea or some hot coffee, and he'll have snacks in there. So we find that having snacks is very helpful to get me to run in the morning. I love to have jelly beans. It's my guilty pleasure. So I'll eat jelly beans when I'm running. It's a nice little treat, and you need the sugar anyway. So it's little nice things like that keep me going as well.
When you're running out there, is there any moments, let's say you're planning to do a 10-mile run, and at mile 3, you're just like, man, I don't know if I have 7 miles in me. And how do you push yourself from, you know, getting those 10 miles in?
I've had many of those moments where I'm running, I'm like, I'm not feeling it. My legs are tired. It's been a really tough training cycle this time. I haven't really done any cutback. It's just been more like gaining every week because I was nursing an injury at the beginning of the year. So I feel like I'm trying to make up for mileage. And because of that, I'm waking up so early and I'm out that door by 5. If I'm at mile 2, I've said like, hey, I want to like turn home and just go back. But at that point, I've given up sleep. I'm awake. And if I'm not maximizing my time, I've just wasted my time because I could have used that time to sleep to be better rested for work. So since I'm up, I'm going to hit that goal. And so that's what really keeps me accountable. I remind myself what I gave up. I gave up my warm bed. I gave up that extra hour of sleep, the extra 2 hours of sleep that I could have gotten since I don't need to get to work till like 8:15. And so for me, those 2 hours are very crucial since I'm up. So since I'm up, something's going to happen. So if I'm not running, if I come home, I'm going to go back on my stationary bike, but a workout's going to happen. There's no negotiating that. Because time is so finite in my day.
Do you do anything the night before to help to make sure you wake up on time?
No, my body just wakes up at this time. Now, I've been doing it for so long. Before, when I was first getting into waking up really early to run, I would go to sleep in my running outfit. And I would have my snacks next to the bed. and I would put my phone across the room. So if the alarm's going off, if I get up, that's it anyway.
The lights go on. You're like, all right, I'm up. It's not, yeah. There's no point of going back to sleep. I'm not going to get quality sleep at this point. I was thinking that. I was like, wow, Susie's like, and then I was like, what is Susie training for? And that's when I saw that your training, like, she's for me, I saw that you were like very committed to your training. You're hitting peak training and you're putting in the work and the miles. And what gravitated you to sign up for Leona?
I signed up for Leona as a checkpoint for AC 100. Mm. And I'm training for AC 100 because everyone's like, oh, just enter the lottery, see if you get in. I was like, okay. Well, if I get in, I'm meant to run it. It's destiny. Like, that's just what I've been saying. Like, okay, if I get in, I'm going to do it. Like, it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do. And I got in because I won Ray Miller. So I got one of the Sterling silver tickets to run. And so then I was like, okay, I guess I'm running AC 100. That's just that's how it goes.
Oh, how exciting. And I believe they're going to do either not exactly the same course of the OG course because of the fire and the road, some of the trail clear, but it's going to be that one way. So we're all excited to hopefully that is the plan for this year.
I hope we come down, because if we come down, I'm basically home and I can go to sleep.
Well, you mentioned downhills is one of your strengths. What has helped you not be afraid of falling? I feel like many people who get into trail running, the reason they don't run fast at downhills because they're scared of falling, or they say their knees hurt, or, you know, their body starts aching. What has helped you be more efficient and running faster on the downhills?
I'm not a great downhill runner on training days. I take them very slow. I'm very methodical about running downhill and not falling and not getting injured. Because for me, for a training run, the whole point of training is to prep me for a race. And if I'm going really hard downhill and I injure myself, then there goes my whole season, my whole year. And so I just focus on like taking slower movements, going downhill, being very intentional about where I step. But I find come race day, I'm like, okay, well, if I break my leg, I break my leg. I'm going to just go down. If something happens, something happens. Just don't fall off the mountain. So I find that I'm more risky when it comes to race day because I've put in all this effort for that race day. So I kind of push that out of my mind. But on a general training day, my mind always processes like, what if this happens? What if that happens? And so it's really hard to get out of my head running downhill. And so I understand why that could be difficult for a lot of people. I too struggle with that. But after a while, I'm like, okay, everyone else is doing it. Like, if you fall, it's not that big of a deal. I did fall yesterday on my trail, and actually we were running. I did the Sunday run with this trail run, and we start at Farnsworth Park. We run on the Altadena Crest Trail to Henninger and back. But with all the rain, the ground is a little unstable. And so I took one step and the gravel beneath me just like disappeared. And there was like runoff in the center. So my foot just like fell in the center and I just like fell down so hard. I was like, well, at least I got that out of the way. And so there are certain things, like once you fall, you realize it's not really that bad. Like there could be bad falls, but you have to just put it aside and take that risk. Because if I run on the road, I run the risk of getting hit by a car, hit by a cyclist. So there are risks everywhere. And sometimes you have to take those risks.
Oh my God, I had a blank moment. What has ultra running taught you? What is it that you, and what is it about ultra running that you just keeps, you know, now you're training for a 100 mile or 100K and 100 mile. Like what is it about ultra running that just makes you want to come back and do more?
I love the whole experience. So it was actually at my first marathon that I realized how much I love running far. And so I trained for the LA Marathon to qualify for Boston. So I was like really focused on that time goal. I only got up to 22 miles in my first training cycle for that marathon. So the marathon itself was the first time I hit the 26 miles. And I learned so much about myself. I learned that I could persevere, struggle. I think I redlined the entire time. My average heart rate was probably like 175. And for perspective, my resting heart rate's like high 30s, low 40s. So for me, that's really high. But there were points in it where like I wanted to quit. And I was like, no, you've like sacrificed so much. And so I've learned that I'm able to keep pushing myself past discomfort. I learn a lot about myself, how much I'm able to endure, how I can navigate these different things. And so running long distance and running ultra distances, I find that it challenges me to become a better person. It makes me a happier person. I find that at work, I'm more alert and I'm more easygoing because of it. And so I like the person that I am because I run far distances or just because I run in general. But I find that running far forces you to deal with your demons because there's no one coming to save you. And that's often what I think when I'm running, like, okay, you're out in the middle of nowhere. You're like 15 miles from your car. There's no cell service. no one's coming to save you. You have to figure out how to navigate your emotions, navigate your energy, your fuel, and get yourself back to the car. And I think that entire experience is what I love about running far and running ultras, is because you learn to become self-reliant and you learn that you have to step up for yourself.
Do you think the problem solving also, like, you love the problem solving?
I love the problem solving.
You're like, what problems will I have today? And of course, the longer the distance, the more problems you're going, you're most likely to come out. So you're like, all right, just taking this as a really long math puzzle equation here for myself.
I think I do think of it as a problem, but even it's not so much a problem. It's more just learning a lot about yourself. It's just having that time to stop and think that you wouldn't have otherwise. I find that if I'm at home, there is just so many distractions. Like, I'll go on my phone, or like, I need that instant gratification. Like, what's on YouTube? What's someone doing today? Whereas when I'm running, I'm totally in the moment, and it's the only time of my day or of my week that I'm truly just in the moment, able to think about a second by second time frame, versus when I'm driving to work, I'm thinking about like what's going to happen at work. When I'm leaving work, I'm analyzing what happened at work. How can I do something better for tomorrow? What do I have to make for dinner? But running, I don't think about any of that. I think about like, oh, this is a beautiful view. Look at that sunrise. Look at that bird. Oh, wow. Look at, there's a snake there. Watch out for this hole. Watch out for this rock. Running downhill, you can't think about anything but the moment itself. And so it takes you out of the entire world around you and allows you to appreciate the moment you're in.
Essentially, it forces you to be present, and they call it moving meditation, right? Even if you don't want to meditate while running, you have no other choice but to be present, or else you're going to go flying on the side of the hill.
Oh, when you tune out, that's when you're going to fall for sure. I've definitely had those moments.
Yeah. If you see the Susie, so a lot of the point of this podcast is to inspire and encourage more women to get on the trails. And there's a lot of fear of not knowing where to start, not knowing what to do. Being a woman, there's also that fear of being by yourself on the trail. For you, what advice or things you wish you would have known when you first started trail running that might help other people? It might have helped you if you would have known.
I think knowing that there are a lot of groups out there, that there are groups of people that go out running, they're very welcoming, they'll wait for you. There's regrouping. There are resources like the Garmin InReach, which will help. There's Strava, where you can go and create your routes. There's all trails where people are posting reviews. I think that would really help. I still find it difficult to run by myself on certain trails. Like 2 weeks ago, I ran at Lake Hughes and I ran by myself. My husband dropped me off and he had aid stations like at the 7 mile mark and at the end of the 20 mile mark. So I ran 7 miles on the PCT by myself. And then I ran the remaining like 13 miles again by myself. I didn't see a soul. And whenever I hear things in the bushes, I'm like, okay, like, what is that? Is that a person? Is it a mountain lion? Is it a bear? Is it a snake? And so my mind starts playing all these tricks. And so I can completely understand where an inexperienced female runner of all people would be worried about their safety, because it's something that we have to worry about as females. Like, a lot of people don't really understand. Like, I'll say certain things and people are like, well, no, you don't have to worry about that. I'm like, no, you don't have to worry about that. But these are things that I must think of for myself. Like, because you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable place. There have been things that have happened to women on the trails. But I think it's very important to, at least for me, to help me get on the trails, is to understand that if I go running on the road versus running on the trail, my risk is about the same. Like, you have people on the roads, you have people on the trails. It's not any different. It's just you're so isolated that your mind starts to play all these tricks on you. So what helps is just checking in with someone, telling them what distance you plan on going, how long you roughly think you'll take to go, if they should start looking for you at a certain time. So I find that just having someone know where I am is very reassuring for me to go on the trails. Like, I'll go run the Wilson Trail in the morning and I'll find people that are on there like, oh, are you going to be up there in the morning? And so you just start to find like little friends. I'll message people on Strava like, hey, I see that you do this trail. Can you give me some information? I've been wanting to run it in the dark, but I'm a little scared. And so people in the trail community are very open. I've had people message me on Instagram asking for advice about getting into trail running and what that's like, any advice about like increasing mileage. So if anyone feels that they want to reach out, there's always someone out there that will be willing to help in the trail community. And that's why I love trail running so much.
What do you think it's a common mistake a lot of beginner trail runners do when they get into trail running?
They think that you're supposed to run up every single hill. And because they're doing that, they get very discouraged because it's very exhausting if you think that you're going to just keep going and running up these trails. And I find that new runners also fall into the habit of trying to compare themselves to people that have been doing it for so long. I know that when I ran my first marathon, I couldn't walk for the week after. I was like limping everywhere. And I was looking on social media and on Strava. I'm like, how are these people already running the next day? I don't understand. Like, that's incredible. And for like 2 years, every time I'd run a marathon, I couldn't walk. And I didn't understand how. But now I'm at the point where now I can do it. And so it's just something to think about where it's, you don't know people's journey. You don't know how long they've been doing it. You don't know what their story is. Your story is very different. So instead of comparing yourself to other people, focus on where you're starting and compare yourself to where, to how far you've come. I find that that is the best advice I would have liked to get as a new runner and a new trail runner is don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Don't worry if you need to walk up that hill. Trail running is half hiking anyway. And people don't realize that. And that's why I think I really like trail running. I'm like, okay, I really don't want to run for like 2 hours straight. Let's go hike up a mountain, then like run down around the flats and have some fun with some friends.
And take some pictures, enjoy the views, and just take in, like you mentioned earlier, take in what you see around the birds, the views that you have around you, and just being grateful and gratitude that you get to experience all this. And for, I know in Sierra Madre area, you've probably seen a handful of bears, or there's always activity there. How have you encountered a bear, or have you ever encountered a bear out on the trails?
I encountered a large cinnamon black bear. So our black bears aren't black here, which I've discovered. And it was a massive bear. It was a chongster. So we were running, and there's a split. It's at Orchard Camp. There's a split where that's where you start going to the summit of Wilson. And so I'm running down. My husband's ahead, and so is one of my buddies. And they're like, bear, bear. And I was like, okay, like, where's the bear? I've never seen one. Like, I want to see one. And so I'm coming down, like, okay, like, is this bear going to be a nice bear? Am I going to have to, like, worry about it? So, like, we're all, like, making sounds, and the bear is just, like, kind of there. And so I'm, like, I slow down my run so it doesn't see me running. I just, like, kind of walk past it. And he's just, like, there kind of growling, trying to keep his distance. But for the most part, they're just kind of, they're massive dogs, at least here. I don't know what grizzlies are like in other states, but at least, like, the San Gabriel Mountains, our bears are pretty calm. And so it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, it's kind of scary. I still think like, okay, maybe I'm going to come across a bear. But I've seen videos of them, and like I've had friends that come across them. They say that if you just leave the bears alone, they leave you alone. So it's really not that bad. It's actually kind of nice to see a bear.
In their natural habitat. Do you run with the bear, Belle?
I do sometimes. Oftentimes I do forget. And so I just figure if I just yell enough, it'll be okay. But I try to bring the bear bell with me. In the winter, I haven't been bringing it. I think that the bears are in hibernation, but I've heard that they're back. So now that they're back, I will be bringing that bell out with me. And I did hear that there are snakes again. So I might be reincorporating my tall socks just in case they like to nip.
Have you ever had a snake encounter where you scared yourself and you're like, whoa, that was a close one?
Oh, yeah. On the Wilson Trail, it was a hot day after work. It was probably like 90 degrees. It was like right on the hillside. As you're running, I just hear this like rattle. And I was like, okay, like, what is that? And so I'm trying to go past it. It's like hanging off the ledge. I'm like, okay, is this snake going to get me? Like, there's no other way down. And so I wait a little bit for it to calm down. And then I run as fast as I can past it, which is probably not the best thing to do. But after that point, it kind of mellowed out and I got past it just fine. But there are snakes around. They pretty much just attack when you agitate them. So if you just give them their space, they're okay, like most things out there.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing for many people. It's like, don't tease, don't mess around with the wildlife, because if you tease them, if you poke them, if you throw things at them, their natural instinct is defense, and they're going to want to defend themselves. So the best thing is just enjoy them from afar and just, you know, let them, they'll let you pass by if you let them pass by without any, what's that called? Like a tension.
I try to stay as far as possible. I don't want to agitate them. I don't want to give them any reason to attack me.
What are you looking for AC100? Is there something like that you're really looking forward to, or just the 100-mile experience? Is there something based on what you've probably been getting advice from other runners? You're part of the Run With Us Pasadena race team. I know there's a lot of people there who's run 100 miles. I'm sure you're probably getting some insight there. Is there anything that you're looking forward to, something that you're just a little nervous about?
I think I'm just nervous about the sleep deprivation part. I did the Goggins 4 for 48 challenge, and there were some times where it was rather questionable. Like you're on that sleep haze, you just want to go to bed. I also experienced it during Berlin because of the time change. I found that like when I was halfway through that run, I was like, I just want to go to sleep. Like I don't want to be running anymore. So I'm really worried about the sleep aspect for AC100, but I'm actually really looking forward to it as well, because I've been looking into these like 200, 250 mile races, and I really want to do them just to see everything, like Moab 240. I think it's 240. Yes. I want to do Moab. I want to do Bigfoot 200. And I just want to see everything that's out there. But if I can't run 100 miles, then I can't do the 200. So I'm excited to see how I'll feel running the 100, see if I can go farther, because then I can plan these like larger trips and go out and do things and go backpacking.
And you mentioned earlier that you noticed that the longer the distance, you feel like the better you get, right? Like the more good you start feeling, you just kind of want to see where that threshold is for you, right? Like you're just like, wow, after I run more longer and I feel better. Like I feel like I'm just starting essentially.
I think I'm kind of searching for the breaking point at this point. Like That's someone's at our door. That's okay. I think I just want to see how far I can go until I get to that very challenging point. Yeah, there are challenging points in the marathon. There are challenging points in the 50K and the 50 miler. I want to see if there's a point of no return. Like I've been able to recover from all those dark points. I've been able to trick myself into running farther. And so I want to see if that's going to happen in the 100. There definitely will be dark parts of the 100 miler. There'll be dark parts of 200, but I think that's part of the experience. And so I understand that. And I want to see if I can overcome that. My mind has this like very interesting way of forgetting how miserable things are after the fact. And I'm always like, that was such a great experience. Like, let's do it again. And everyone's like, no, you did not have a great time.
Your husband's probably like, Susie, you don't remember telling me that you never want me to have you signed up for a race again? I'm like, did I really say that?
I think he would completely agree with my current self. Just keep signing up. He wants me to do all the races. He's my biggest supporter. He thinks that I'm going to win all these races. And I'm
that's
like,
awesome.
I don't think that's going to happen. But that's awesome. It's nice to have someone in my corner.
Does he run? Because he runs as well. Does he train the same kind of distances as you do? When I know right now you mentioned he's injured, but or does he have more experience in running that has been able to help you kind of as a coach or guide or mentor?
We've kind of explored the distances together. We run our first half marathon together. We ran our first marathon, our first 50K. Well, I went and ran it at the Rose Bowl without him, but our first official 50K, we've run them together. So we've kind of just done these adventures with running and experiencing these new distances at the same time. So it's been kind of nice to go through that, because we won't always stay together during the run or during like bike rides, but at the end we always share our experiences and our stories, and they're just hilarious, because we both live very different lives during that event, that it's just funny to hear about someone else's experience versus my own. And I'm always very dramatic about my runs, like, oh my god, like this thing happened, and I throw things all out of proportion every single time. But it's great to hear a different perspective.
When you guys how do you guys do training runs together when, you know, you guys are both different paces? How do you guys balance it so you guys can run together, but you guys are training for different, you know, paces or things?
It's kind of like the Run With Us trail runs, where we'll run the same route and we'll regroup every like mile and a half. And so on hills, I'm like, okay, I'll see you at the top. And so he'll run up and we'll meet up at the top. And on the downhill, we'll kind of just like cruise together, because we like to go. Most of our training runs are pretty slow anyway. And so he finds that running my pace is very good for him, because he's just going at like super chill pace if he's going my pace, versus I'm just like at that threshold. So I think it benefits him. It also helps me to run with him, because it forces me to run faster. So I find that when I run with people that are a little bit better than me, it forces me to become better, because I want to hang with them and I want to keep pace with them.
And it allows you to get uncomfortable without even realizing. You're like, yes. Oh, I'm actually running faster without realizing that I'm running faster. You mentioned that earlier this year, you were coming back from an injury. What has been your experience with being injured or not being able to run when you want to run, just overcoming all that?
I think it's very helpful for me that I can fall back on cycling. And I often joke with my cycling friends, like, oh, I'll see you next time I'm injured. And so I'll go on do these like long bike rides with cyclists, or I'll go on the trainer. So at the beginning of the year, I was like really frustrated that I couldn't run. So I was like, okay, fine, let's do 100 miles on the bike. And so I was like, every day I was doing back to back 100 miles on my indoor trainer. And I was like, okay, today let's go for 200. And so I just find different things to do that are not running related and just focus my energies on that and hope that the training will transfer over. But for the most part, if I go to cycling, if I go to swimming, that training will cycle over. I did have an injury like back in 2019 where I broke my foot and I couldn't run for 3 months. So I was just like bike bound the entire time, just like climbing my bike, clipping in, clipping out. And so I found that that kept my fitness up. So when I came back to running, I was still okay.
Do you feel if you were never able to run again, that you will be okay with cycling? Is it like, is the love for cycling just as much as the run for running, or is it because it was cycling your first love?
Cycling was not my first love.
No.
No, I started running first. I was running like 5Ks, 10Ks. I started cycling because I was like, okay, I heard cross training was good. So I was like, okay, let's go cycle. I was part of PAA, the Pasadena Athletic Association. They put on these like really good events. They have rides where you ride from like LA to San Diego, LA to Santa Barbara. And so it's like these like long trail festivals, but on your bike. But I don't think it would be the same. If I couldn't run, I would probably end up getting a gravel bike and riding my bike on the mountains. And then maybe that would be close. But I think what I like about running is running road and running trail. Whereas right now cycling, I only cycle road because my bike handling skills aren't that great since I do so much indoor cycling. So I don't have that practice.
Have you found any benefits of being out in nature? Just because I know you mentioned right now going out and doing some gravel cycling. Do you feel just being in nature has helped you in any way?
I like getting out of nature. I feel like it allows me to reset. I feel that it's really good for my mental health. I got into running from the very start because I have asthma. So I wanted to control that and not be dependent on an inhaler. And I do it for mental health because mental health issues do run in my family. And I understand the benefit of sunlight and getting out. And getting out of the city is also very good for your mental health. It helps boost your endorphins. And we're supposed to be around color. It's unnatural to just be around these cement buildings or these brick buildings. So going out in nature, just it does something to your brain that, at least to my brain, that running in the city does not.
And having that balance between being out in nature, get that kick, and then balancing off of running in the city. And you're like, okay, that's enough of running in the city. Let me go back into nature so you can enjoy the benefits of both worlds. But thank you so much, Susie, for sharing that. Because I think it's really important for people to realize, like, just being out in nature, regardless of how, whether it's running, walking, with the bike, cycling, you can all benefit from just spending some time out in nature. It's amazing the power of nature and just being outdoors and essentially going out and smelling the roses, right?
We're not meant to be inside this long. It's not natural for us. So it's why people struggled so much being isolated at home. Like, we need that connection. We need to see what's out there. And so I find that for me, I love the trails. I love going out there, even in the rain. Trails with the rain, you're not supposed to go out there, you're not supposed to destroy the trails, but just being out there in the greenery or like the park when it's raining is nice as well if you can't get up to the trails.
And you mentioned that you started picking up trail running during the pandemic. Do you feel that trail running essentially helped you not go completely crazy during the pandemic of everything being closed?
I think running helped me, just being outside. So even if I couldn't get to the trails, it was just running in general. The trails were nice because it allowed me to go up into the mountains and overlook on the city and just realize like there's more to it than just like being in your little cubicle, your little box. Like the world's so small when you're up there. It's very grounding. It's like when you look at a video of a city and it zooms out and you have everything getting smaller and smaller and smaller as you're going to the universe. It's kind of that kind of feeling when you're up there in the mountains.
And you realize, and you realize, man, I'm one of the very few people that gets to see this. Like, not many people to even know this exists. I know we're getting close to the end of the podcast. I can't believe it's already been, our time is coming close to an end. But I have a few more questions. One of the last questions I have for you, what and who inspires you? Like, if there's someone out there, is there a person or a thing that really inspires you to just work on being the best version of yourself?
I think what inspired me the most to just constantly problem solve and figure out a solution to things would be my mom. So she came over during the Cambodian genocide. My entire family did on my mom's side. Like, they came with nothing and they figured out how to make something out of nothing. And so she worked like two jobs. She worked really hard to make anything happen, like anything we needed for school, anything we needed, like we didn't want for anything. And so for me, it's like, if you could do that, and I see like all these people working very hard, it's like, why can't I do that? And so now when I see people doing some crazy things, like I follow Andrew Glaze and I see that he runs an obscene amount of miles every day and he works a full-time job. I'm like, okay, if he can do it, why can't I? And so it ingrained in me this idea that what makes anyone else so much more special that they are able to do something that I can't. So that's why I like problem solving. That's why I really like DIY. I like to figure out what someone's doing and how I can replicate that or how I can do that myself. And so that's what I like to remind myself. And I think that's what inspires me daily. Like, I want to get better than I was yesterday. Like, last year I ran a 50 mile. I want to run farther or I want to run faster. I want to set new PRs. I'm very goal oriented. And I find that when I focus on that, every single day I'm making myself a better person than I was yesterday. And that's the ultimate goal in my life, is just to continue to become a better person.
That's beautiful. And I love what you mentioned earlier too, even with when you were going into Ray Miller, your goal wasn't to win the race. Your goal was just to try your best. And then that just happened. Everything aligned, everything worked out for you. And I think that's an example for many people. It's you work hard and you try your best, and races is just a way for you to show where you are compared to other people, but it's not something that defines you, or it's just a way for you to see where you are relative. But if you just focus on yourself and being the best version of yourself, you can shine in your own way, regardless it's in a race or in a run that you do, or a segment or a mountain you climb. I think that's really beautiful. So thank you, Susie, for sharing that. And my last question is, any final thoughts you want to share with women that want to get out on the trails? Anything that, you know, anything you want to share?
I think if you have any inclination to run on the trails, that you absolutely should. There are amazing groups out there. Run With Us has some great runs that we put on every Sunday. There's SoCal Trails. There's a group for anyone. Snail's Pace has runs. And so if you feel like you don't have that community to get out there because you're fearful of going alone, there's always someone that can go with you. You can message people on Instagram. I've had people message me asking if I'm going to be at trails on a specific weekend. I've invited people out. So there are people that are open to it. And so, yeah, you can message a bunch of people and only have one person respond, but you really only need one person or two people, and you'll find that it could change your entire life.
Thank you, Susie. And where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram.
What's your Instagram handle?
Oh, it's Susie Lozick.
Well, I'll add her Instagram handle in the show notes. But thank you so much, Susie, for joining us today. It was such awesome just to learn more about you. You've been killing it. Wishing you the best of luck at Leona and even bigger luck at AC 100. I'll be out there, one of the aid stations. So I'm looking forward to cheering you on. You've been inspiring me, seeing you getting out there running. So I just wanted to let you know that you never know who you're inspiring, but I know you've been inspiring me. So thank you, Susie, for you showing up for yourself, because you showing up for yourself really does impact the community of who's looking at you like, wow, she can do it, then I can do it too. So thank you, Susie, for being a role model in our community.
Thank you for having me.